Let's look at the World Heritage List. Excuse me. Which is in fact the most visible part of the convention. And I don't know, you probably, because you're teaching this, you're aware that it's now up to 851 World Heritage Sites, and there are probably 1,500, 2,000 in the waiting lists of, tentative lists of states parties, somewhere in there. So before talking about the length of the list and so on, at the beginning, what do you think the intentions were by the creators of the convention? What did they, why did they go for a listing process?
That's a difficult one to answer. If you go back in time, if you go back to the 1920s, 1930s, at the time of the League of Nations, the idea was to create a fund to which the more affluent states could contribute to assist those less well-developed countries, least developed countries, who had rich heritages, to look after those heritages. That was the objective, and that still exists, of course, but it's rather masked. The idea of the list, I think it all goes back, really, the impetus, as I understand it, from what I've read and what I've heard from some of the original people, came from the famous White House conference in 1980 or whatever it was.
65.
Oh, 65, sorry, 65,
yeah,
sorry.
Way back. It's,
yeah. When the people like the Sierra Club were very insistent that there were certain areas that had to be protected, had to have a greater protection. And this then fed into the international system, which is much more authoritarian, if one likes to say use that word. I can't think of a better one than the more laissez-faire US system. So I think it was at that time that People started asking, okay, this is this wonderful heritage. We've all got to protect it in the name of all humankind. What is it? That was when I think the concept of the list came in. Now, how that list was seen in those early days, it's a little difficult to discern. I think because there was a very strong Western and European element in those who were responsible for drafting, the construct was something like Stonehenge or St. Peter's in Rome. It was the individual monument. It might also have been the individual town. We saw that, of course, in the very first bunch that were nominated with Kraków, historic centre of Kraków. Then the Poles were always causing problems. Mm-hmm. Always have, I think. And at the beginning, it was fairly tightly controlled, although you begin to get a broadening of the concept. Again, the Poles, I think it was interesting that they nominated the Wieliczka salt mine in their very first bunch. So the notion of industrial heritage was implanted then, though it didn't really develop properly until, I think, the UK nominated Ironbridge, the Ironbridge Gorge. That's when it really took off. The concept of the cultural landscape, of course, was something that really bedeviled the committee's discussions in the 1980s, I suppose, when you were getting the so-called mixed sites nominated under both sets of criteria. And There were a number of wise people who actually could see that there were sites, I use sites in the broadest possible way, which would not qualify under either of the sets of criteria, in either natural or cultural. But if you put the two together, they created something larger than the sum of the parts. That's what I'm saying, isn't it?
Yes. That was what was presented in, I think, 1986 or 1987, exactly that idea.
But again, it's interesting. I when I arrived in 1992 at ICOMOS, Herb Stovall said to me, more or less, oh, by the way, ICOMOS is going to do a paper for the next meeting on cultural landscapes. Will you write it? Sure, I thought. You know, fools rushing. And I produced a paper, and I read all the earlier ones, and my impression about the earlier ones is that they were trying too hard. There was the noble attempt, which failed, by the UK to bring this along, hurry the whole process along by nominating the Lake District. Great mistake. For goodness sake. Where was the cultural element there? It was the Lake Poets. Now, who has ever heard of Wordsworth and Coleridge and Southey? You have, I have. We have an English educational background. But I suppose you get the odd Frenchman who probably heard of Wordsworth because he was in favour of the French Revolution. Very, very difficult to see where the values lay. You needed something much, much, much stronger in that respect. Those two areas of cultural landscapes and industrial heritage are ones that I have been particularly interested in. My own career background is in the iron and steel industry. Before I became a full-time heritage archaeology person, I was working in the steel industry, so, and my PhD was on something concerned with early technology. Cultural landscapes, well, again, the concept of landscape archaeology is something that I think we in Britain can claim credit for. This was invented, really, by a very great scholar called Billy Hoskins, who wrote a book called The Making of the English Landscape. He was a geographer, but his work was picked up by archaeologists like Peter Fowler, whom you know well, and others, and it took off.
Let's just come back to the list for a minute and hear your views on expectations on the total number on the list. Is it important? Should the list be capped at some point? Do you think there are too many, too few? There's always lots of talk around this subject.
When was it the Italians proposed a numerus clausus of 500? In the 80s, sometime?
Don't remember that.
Yeah, mind you, they would have made sure that 400 of them were Italian. It's gone out of control. You can't really put a shutter down now, though most of the world's countries are on the list. But I think you can slow it down. I approve very strongly of the one per country per year idea. That was the Cairns decision, wasn't
it's
it?
It's now two per country per year, by the way. It's slowly creeping up again.
I know. As you know, I did the original analysis of the list and the tentative lists, which formed the basis of the ICOMOS Filling the Gaps paper. My gut feeling was that it's going to run out around about 1,500, which seems to me to be a manageable number. Otherwise, you're really going to move into not just the B list, but the C list and down to the mm-hmm. Z list.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed this last meeting that the success rate was 51%.
That's gone down quite a bit, hasn't it?
So it was 57% 2 years ago. So it is that's the trend line.
That doesn't surprise me. I'm bound to say, when I look at some of the properties that have been nominated, I would have found great difficulty in producing a convincing presentation of some of those, a recommendation.